Well, welcome everyone today. Thank you all for showing up and taking some time to hear about the research that we've been doing throughout the Chehalis Basin. First off, can you guys hear me all right? Okay. My name is Nick Van Buskirk. I'm a biologist here in the Chehalis, currently entering my fourth season working on the upper Chehalis, collecting data regarding spawning salmon and steelhead in that area, and that is what I'm here to talk with you guys about today. So a little background on the project. After the flood in 2007, the upper Chehalis River near the town of Piel was selected as the site for a proposed dam. With this proposal, there was a need to get a better understanding of the salmon and steelhead in this area of the river. We had some ongoing monitoring, but we didn't have a very detailed idea of the specifics of spawning with salmon and steelhead in here. So the Upper Chehalis project came about in order to try and further that understanding, get a better idea of what is going on in that area. This is the area in question here, highlighted in red. This is the Upper Chehalis subbasin. It is the headwaters of the Chehalis River running off of the Willapa Hills, and it is over 100 miles from the mouth of the Chehalis where it dumps into Grays Harbor. So when I talk about the Upper Chehalis subbasin, that is this region here. The objectives of this project was to gain a detailed understanding of timing, abundance, and distribution of the salmon and steelhead in the Upper Chehalis River. This data would be used not only to inform decision makers on best strategy for flood control in the basin, but also to help identify potential for restoration and/or conservation of aquatic species in this area. The species that we're looking at in particular are spring chinook, fall chinook, coho, and steelhead. And so to achieve this goal, first we set up a survey frame in the early years of our project. This included roughly 53 miles of habitat, ranging from main stem to forks to numerous small tributaries. We used a red-based escapement estimate to come up with our numbers, so we did our surveys weekly, counting the nests or the reds that salmonids are digging, and then we would expand upon those counts to produce an escapement estimate per each species of fish. This figure on the right here is a map of our survey area with the proposed flood reduction only dam inundation footprint overlaid on top of the river here. So looking at this map here, the river is running from south to north. And we conduct our surveys from middle of September all the way through the end of June. The first species to spawn is spring chinook, which starts in the middle of September, sometimes late September, and peaks in early to mid-October, and doesn't last much after that. They have the shortest spawning period of any of the species that we have been looking at. And they also have the lowest abundance of any of the species we have been looking at, as well as being the most variable across the 5 years of the study. It has ranged from a high of 65 fish down to a low of just 3 fish and a single red in 2015. And there is no confirmed hatchery spring chinook in the Upper Chehalis, but that is based on a very low sample size of only a handful of carcasses and a handful of live fish observations. They're also the least dispersed in the area. They're largely mainstem spawners, almost exclusively mainstem spawners, other than a couple reds in the lower reaches of Big and Crim Creeks. And because of this spawning preference, 93% of the reds fall within the inundation footprint. After spring chinook, fall chinook begins spawning. This happens early October and peaks sometime between mid-October and early November, and it is slightly more protracted than spring chinook, with some spawning extending into December, where it overlaps with coho, but most of it is happening late October, early November. Fall chinook are much more abundant than spring chinook, but still had relatively low abundance when compared to coho or steelhead in the basin. They were also the most consistent as far as abundance goes for any of the species we were looking at, ranging from just 424 fish down to 239 on the lowest year. And as a spring Chinook, there is no confirmed hatchery fish in the Upper Chehalis, and this is based on a much larger sample size with many, many more carcasses sampled and many more live fish observations in the field. They're also much more widely distributed than spring Chinook are. We see use into the East and West Forks, as well as use further up in many of the main stem tribs that spring Chinook are not using. Still, most of the spawning happens in the main stem, and so 86% of the reds are still within the inundation footprint. After fall Chinook, coho start spawning. This typically happens middle to late October and runs all the way through February. It is more protracted than either spring Chinook or fall Chinook. Peak is typically late November, mid-November to early December, and we do observe a small bee run peak happening right around the new year, which is observed elsewhere in the basin, but it is slightly less pronounced up in the Upper Chehalis than what we observe elsewhere. Coho, just like spring Chinook, have had a highly variable abundance over the past 5 years, but in general have been much more numerous than Chinook. We had a high of nearly 1,600 fish in 2014 and a low of just 174 in 2013. And you'll notice the low counts in 2013 and 2016 are likely a lasting impact from the 07 flood. Adult coho returning to spawn in the Chehalis Basin have a very uniform age upon return, being comprised almost entirely of three-year-olds. So they are much less adept at recovering from an impact like that, as opposed to steelhead or Chinook, which have much more diverse age class upon returning adults. As with the spring and fall Chinook, there have been no confirmed hatchery coho in the basin, and only one fish has been recovered with a coated wire tag, but the tag was unreadable, so it can't say for sure its origin. And I believe it was at a time when there was coated wire tags going into wild coho juveniles in the basin. Distribution of coho, they're much more well distributed than either the runs of Chinook are. We see extensive use throughout just about every tributary and some use in several of the smaller tributaries that don't see any other use with any species. There is still a large component of them that spawn in the main stem, and 39% of the reds still fall within the proposed inundation footprint. Winter steelhead have some overlap with cohos towards the end of coho spawning. Steelhead will start. It begins in late December, early January, and continues all the way through June. Most of the spawning, though, does not happen until March and later. It is the most protracted spawning period of any of the runs that we have looked at, and peak is typically sometime between early April to early May. And there is a small run of summer steelhead, but almost nothing is known about it, and it's so small that with our monitoring up there, we do not try and differentiate between summer and winter steelhead red, so all the steelhead we count are considered winter steelhead. True numbers of summers at this point are still unknown, but they are present. Steelhead have also been the most abundant species that we observed up there. We had a high of 1,848 fish and a low this last year of 942. As you can see here, the counts are split. This is between early and late reds around a date of March 15th. This is a tool used by managers to designate hatchery versus wild spawning steelhead in areas where there is early timed hatchery steelhead present. We don't believe this to be the true breakout of hatchery and wild steelhead in the basin, though. The nearest hatchery program is in Elk Creek, about 10 miles downriver, and these are a Skookumchuck stock fish, which has a late run timing more similar to a natural wild steelhead. So we would not expect to actually see a difference of early time steelhead contributing to those reds before March 15th. Steelhead are, however, the only species where we have confirmed hatchery presence in the Upper Chehalis. And that sort of makes sense given their propensity to stray, and that we do have a hatchery program that is very near the upper Chehalis. Because they're the only species with confirmed hatchery presence, there's been some extra effort taken to try and determine what the proportion of hatchery versus wild steelhead spawning in the upper Chehalis is. We have collected samples from carcasses on spawning ground surveys, from hook and line collection during the genetics project that Todd will be talking about later, and we've also conducted some spawning surveys to try and get visual counts of adipose clip steelhead during the winter. Sorry, I got stuff popping up on the computer here. Anyway, over the past 5 years, we have sampled a total of 84 fish, six of those being hatchery origin. This works out to roughly 7% of the run. In the snorkel efforts we have done, they've been generally conducted around that March 15th date to try and show that there's some weight to that date as far as hatchery fish spawning before, wild fish spawning afterwards. So we've done a lot of snorkeling in late February, early March, all the way through the end of March, trying to look around that date. And we've also done some snorkeling later in the year in mid to late April, just to see if there is hatchery fish present later in the year, more in time with when wild peak spawning is. And in our snorkeling efforts, we have seen hundreds and hundreds of live fish without a single confirmed adipose clip steelhead. And that is with some unknown observations, but still it's largely confirmed adipose present. So although our carcass and fish sampling data would say 7%, based on that 7% of the run would be hatchery, at this point we still do not know exactly what the breakout is, but it is largely, from our observation, seems to largely be wild fish that are spawning, or wild steelhead that are spawning in the upper Chehalis. Steelhead are also very well distributed, as are coho. They use fewer of the small tributaries than coho do, but there is several creeks, just based on how our barriers are structured, that steelhead are able to disperse farther up into some of them than the coho are. We see extensive spawning use in the East and West Forks, as well as pretty much every major tributary, and 33% of the steelhead red still occurred within the inundation footprint of the dam. So I think the key takeaways from what we figured out as far as looking at the abundance of these different species and what that means for restoration or conservation: we have very few spring Chinook, and not large numbers of fall Chinook. As a total of the whole basin, it's I think about 1% of the spring Chinook in the basin, about 1% of the coho, slightly higher for fall Chinook. But the thing that I think is really important is how many steelhead we have. I think it's pretty unique having an area where there's far more steelhead spawning than Chinook or coho. And the steelhead in the upper Chehalis, I'm not sure what percent of the habitat the upper Chehalis is, I'd still have to work that out, but it's about 14% of the steelhead in the entire basin are produced in the upper Chehalis River.
What was that again?
14%. Okay. And I'd just like to take a minute to thank Weyerhaeuser, Green Diamond, and Pinesco Tree Farms for allowing access to our survey area. I'd like to thank the Washington State Legislature for funding that allowed this project to happen. And a thank you to all our staff and surveyors who have collected the data that made this possible. And so at this point, I'll field a few questions, and I've also left contact information, so if anyone would like to reach out after this in the future and discuss more data or hear anything else, feel free to contact me. But if anyone has any questions, we can answer for you right now, too. Yes?
So you mentioned, I'm steelhead, 33% of the, you mentioned Excuse me, 33% of the reds you found were in the inundation area, but you didn't survey the whole area. I think you said 14% of the steelhead population comes from that area.
We surveyed the area in the Upper Chehalis, we surveyed the entirety of salmon and steelhead spawning above the proposed dam site. And then Kurt does surveying in the rest of the basin downstream of that. And they don't have as complete a coverage as we do in the Upper Chehalis. What we are surveying, I think there's maybe out of those 53 miles, I think there's maybe like 7 of them that we aren't surveying weekly that actually gets a lot of spawning. So we cover almost the entirety of it weekly. And just in that area, it is 14% of the steelhead that are produced in the entire basin, including some of the Grace Harbor tributaries, the major Chehalis tributaries like Satsup, Wenuchi, Skookumchuck, New Ockham. That 33% is just above the dam site where steelhead reds, and we did survey the entirety of the area steelhead used above the dam site. 33% of the reds we observed still occurred within that inundation footprint.
So the 14% abundance and the 33% of the reds are pretty comparable.
The 33% is just applied to the number of steelhead we have in the Upper Chehalis Basin. The 14 is what the Upper Chehalis Basin produces for steelhead compared to the entirety of the Chehalis Basin.
Okay, just want to be clear on that.
Yep. Anyone else? Yes?
You mentioned the summer steelhead. Are there opportunities to learn more about them?
Oh, certainly. Basically, we know they're up there because of other projects that have been snorkeling during the summer, which I think people will be talking about later in the day. But some of the juvenile work that's been going on up there, summer steelhead have been observed in July and August up there. When we're doing our survey starting September, we have never seen a summer steelhead, or never seen a steelhead until I think December up there when winters are showing up. So I don't know how you would go about collecting more data. There isn't any structures like weirs or traps or anything to intercept fish that are moving up, but there's certainly room to learn more about them. Historically, just reading back about other work people have done, it sounds like there is historically a native run, but they've also in the past released summer steelhead up there, so who knows, it could be remnant of a hatchery run, but there's certainly a lot of room to learn more about them. Yes?
You might have mentioned this, but how are you distinguishing spring chinook from fall chinook?
There's a lot.
Magic.
Yeah, more or less, it's a little bit of magic. Now, in the field, we have a protocol based on what the weather is doing, what other fish observations are in the basin, and the condition of the fish that we're seeing in the field. So we're basing it around a date of October 15th, there's no spring chinook spawning after that, but there is falls that'll spawn before that. So in that time period where there is overlap, we're just looking at the condition of the fish, if it looks like they've been in the system holding for a while, or if they're fresh fish that just moved up following a high water. So it's dependent on what the environment is doing as far as what water levels are, how fast fall fish are moving up. We have done some snorkeling efforts to try and identify holding areas for spring chinook during the summer. And we see in the work we've done, we've seen almost no chinook there in September. So that's another issue, just like hatchery versus wild steelhead. I don't have a ton of confidence on some of the calls we make with spring chinook. And I certainly think there's a chance that we are mis-IDing fall chinook reds as spring chinook. That's something that there's been some other work going on in the basin to try and address that, and I think there's certainly room for more of it. Yes?
Just working off the top of my head from basin size, I think the upper basin is roughly 5% of the total area in the basin. I could be totally wrong working from memory, but it does. If that's even in the ballpark, it puts in perspective your 14% production and 5% of the water.
Yeah, that sounds about like what the figure I had heard. I didn't know specifics, so I didn't want to say anything to it.
I'm working from memory. It's, I think it's 207,000 square miles, and that's about a 60,000 acre basin, roughly off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Either way, it's pretty impressive. If figuring if it is 5%, 15% of the fish in the whole basin coming out of 5% of the habitat. It's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is.
Anyone else?